What's up, everybody? This is Matt, Stigma Solutions. This is an episode with Kelly and I, like kind of like a Kelly and Matt show situation. We were doing Instagram lives for a long time and got some good feedback and haven't been able to do them as much because we did them for like 7 weeks straight every single day at 2 o'clock, every weekday at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we talked about some weird things. Talked about, you know, how to be more like me, which I was not comfortable with. We talked about like figuring out, we talked about our story. We talked about figuring out how to really find what it is that you care about and what makes you happy. And I hope you guys enjoy this. I don't really know what else to say, but I'm gonna shut up now and get to the main part of the episode.
So we decided not to get intoxicated in any way for this podcast, which may be a bad choice, but
We may circle back to it.
We may. whose voice is that? Who is that? That's Kelly.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah.
So we decided to record a podcast. And we're both sober. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the day on Memorial Day. The last time her and I recorded a podcast, it was like a year ago.
Yeah, probably. It's been a while.
No, it was before. So you had a... So, full story. I launched a company called Geek Communications back in April of last year. I think it was April. I think it was like officially May or something like that, because April was like just the concept, and then May we started doing business. And then, but we did business for you, and when did you have your podcast party?
That was in August. August of 2019, I think. Yeah,
that was August.
Yeah,
I thought it was earlier in the year.
Okay, yeah, I think so it was.
We recorded the podcast. It was probably about June then. It's probably like June, July.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's probably been about a year. Kelly and I are business partners now.
A lot's happened.
Yeah, and you and I recorded that podcast, and I know of at least one person who was significantly helped by that podcast, and if we should... I hate being podcast host when you're sitting in your house and we were just talking 2 seconds ago. So
you don't have to be. Then let's not play the podcast game.
Yeah.
Let's have a fucking conversation.
Let's have a fucking conversation.
Yeah.
What do we want to talk about? We want to talk about emotions. We want to talk about business. We want to talk about,
all the things.
Aren't stepping up to the plate and doing what they should be doing, marketing for their business right now. What are we going to do?
I was like, if we go down that road, I'm going to get sassy real quick. I don't know. What's been on your mind lately?
Maybe let's talk about the journey.
The what?
Let's talk about the journey. Let's talk about...
The journey. Yeah.
You and I are business partners now. This originally was the support... This podcast was originally the Support SD Local podcast. It's mm-hmm. now been renamed to the Stigma Solutions podcast. Stigma Solutions was... Do we have a founding date?
I don't... I mean, I feel like we definitely don't have a solid date, but I feel like we were...
We meet in that Starbucks? That would probably be the day.
Ooh.
Remember that first Starbucks meeting?
Yeah. The first Starbucks. I don't know about that one. I feel like our Monstra coffee visit was...
Oh, that could be it too.
I feel like that one... I think that was November.
Yeah, that was definitely November.
It was October or November or something like that. November? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not very long.
No, it's not very long at all, dude. So, like, I started something called Geek Communications in May, which was built off the back of my marketing experience and my nonprofit experience to be able to market for for-profit companies, ultimately, to be able to give back to nonprofits, because there's so many nonprofits doing incredible work that have zero budget for being able to market. So we started that in May, and then your podcast launch party was released in August. Mm-hmm. This is interesting to think back on. And then you and I had a random coffee meeting in November. Mm-hmm. That was like friendly, just like, hey, what's up, how you doing, what's up with your business kind of thing. And we ended up deciding at that meeting, like completely impromptu, to be business partners. Mm-hmm. In November. And then what, probably like a couple days later, a week later, something like that.
Yeah.
You came and met with the team. And
it was literally about like that Friday, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you came and met with the team. We all sat down at a Starbucks. And we were well aligned, and like everybody was psyched to have you come be a part of the team. And like everybody that was following me immediately was like, Kelly, like, we're gonna do this. And now we're sitting here in May of 2020, in the middle, hopefully, end tail of mm-hmm. a global pandemic, and being in business for not even, well, shit, I guess, I don't know if it's 6 months. So, like, we met each other and decided to become business partners, and then we met the team. But when did Stigma actually become like a thing? Like, when do we even, where do we put the date of like when Stigma became a thing?
I mean, that would have been into the beginning. Yeah, it was, I would think January, because we spent some time in like our development stage, yeah, talking about like the brand, talking about like our core values and like getting that kind of founded. Yeah, like, yeah, our roles, yeah, and like kind of got cozy with everybody. Yeah, so probably January. Wow. It's wild how far we've come in that short period of time.
Yeah. January. So January of 2020, now we're in May of 2020. The pandemic started in mid-March?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Nah. Yeah.
I want to say so. I feel like that's when it started, but beginning, like, mid-March. The full quarantine started like in the beginning of April,
okay.
I want to say.
Okay. I thought it'd been longer. And we have, I mean, we have navigated a world's worth of business in less than 6 months.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I feel like in so many different ways too, where I feel like oftentimes when people have like their story of building their business, they have the same narrative that we do, but it's stretched across their first 5 years. And ours has been our first 5 months. And I think that, you know, like the pandemic has probably been a lot of that, where, you know, we were first starting and building ourselves up and like got to a good point and then kind of like lost out on a lot of things because of everything that happened, and then like kind of building ourselves back up. But it's all been just so insanely concentrated because of the speed that we're going at, as well as the response that we've been getting from people. I feel like we have experienced a high concentration of business.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, between, man, if this hadn't happened, it would have been interesting to see where we would have been.
Yeah.
I don't really ever go down that road, but it would have, but like even with the fucking pandemic, like we have really, yeah, we've generated some business.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, I mean, let's talk about how we generated business, or like how we, so like, let's just tell the story of Stigma. Like, let's tell the story of like, you know, the idea of like Geeked was built, and then that was just like on a whim, kind of. I was like, I think this might work, let's do this. And then your values were aligned with wanting to help the underdog and marketing for people that didn't have marketing experience or didn't have the budget for it, and we were really well aligned there. And then we decided to form a partnership between, I mean, your brand was huge, my brand was fucking 4 months old, and we integrated two brands together, and we integrated you into a team of 7 people now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot has changed since then, a lot has stayed the same, but just like the narrative, it's so interesting of like, let's say January was when we founded. Mm-hmm. And founded was like, we started in December, like the brand concept, and we started developing our own website, and we started developing our roles and having those conversations. But how did you feel about the process of like figuring out all the things that can be so sticky for a lot of people? Because like the brand interaction, like how did we integrate Support SD Local? How did we decide like how we were, who was going to get paid what, and what you were going to do, and what kind of power you had, and what kind of power I had versus what kind of power the other people on the team had, and that kind of stuff. How did you feel about that process?
Utterly clueless in the beginning. And actually, I was like, and I want to say fearful, but honestly, I wasn't. I really wasn't in the beginning. I never really have been throughout the entire process. I think that at first when we had that conversation and it was that moment of us both like expressing our pain points and like mm-hmm. what we were struggling with and what our businesses really needed at that point, and just realizing that we each had exactly what the other person was looking for, I think that has been something so clear cut for me throughout our entire partnership that has made me incredibly confident in what we do. Mm. And I definitely felt that confidence on day one, but the idea of taking on a team, managing someone besides myself, having to not answer to other people, but to have other people involved in my work and in my process and me be involved in there, all of it. Like, I think in the beginning, it was definitely overwhelming to think like, oh God, what did I just take on? Like, what did I just sign up for? Especially like coming in to a new team in a leadership role. But
this is the first time I'm hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She
was overwhelmed. I didn't know she was overwhelmed.
I was totally overwhelmed, but the thing that made it so beautiful was that, like, I was overwhelmed, but for all the right reasons. Like, I was so overwhelmed by all of the opportunity that we had. I was so overwhelmed by the potential that our team had when we brought together so many different talented people with so many different perspectives. Like, it was overwhelming for me because my brain, like, I'm so visual and I'm so creative and so right-brained that when I sat down, like, with our team, like, with, like, at that Starbucks being like, what is our brand? What do we stand for? Like, every single thing in my brain that could fire was going. Like, I had fireworks going because everything that we had been doing before coming together and what we were bringing to the table was so beautifully aligned.
Yeah.
And it made it so effortless. And again, like, the overwhelm was like, holy crap, like, everything that I needed, I have.
Mm.
And everything that I've been searching for is here. And it's that moment where it's like you're standing on the edge of the cliff and, like, it's like, no, no, everything now is telling you jump. And, you know, that moment where you're like, oh shit, like, I gotta do it. But when it came down to it, for me to jump, to make that jump into this place of, like, having our business together and, like, letting go of my personal brand and, like, what I had built up on my own and trying to tell my old clients that things were going to change and that they might be talking to somebody new and, like, all of that, like, navigating all of that was like breathing because everything that we were doing made so much sense to me. And everything, all of our passion, all of, like, our dreams, all of our visions that we had, like, they were the same. And it was like, we had 7 people. It was like, how the hell can't we do this, you know? It's it was a lot in the beginning. And it's all just continued to be a lot. But building on itself and just continuing to grow and expand and evolve, it's been beautiful.
For sure. Yeah, it's been amazing to see how far it's come. Because, like, we're kind of like the new heavy hitters on the block,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, I don't know of any other marketing agencies that are doing what we're doing and doing it with the intention, like, there's so many different, like, we could sit here forever and talk about all the different initiatives and all the different projects, mm-hmm. film series and all the different shit we have going on, but I don't think there's anybody else really doing what we're doing, and we've gotten to this place where it's like, we have a solid client base.
Yeah.
We have a solid client base. We have, you know, talking about the founder of Pictionary, we're talking about, like, these bigger names and Salk Institute and talking to them, like, I think it's key to, like, look at how uncomplicated the complicated things have to be. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, the things are not nearly as complicated as we tend to make them. Like,
yep.
Integrating you and the team, it's like, I think most of the complication that people have when they're integrating a team or they're operating on a team or they're leading their people or they're being led by somebody else is just communication.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you and I have a very open door to be able to say, like, this makes me uncomfortable. Or we're very sensitive to, like, I'm going to do this. Are you okay with that? And both of us are okay saying, well, no, I'm not okay with that. I'd rather this. Or how are we going to make the money? And those things just tend to complicate things more because people don't want to talk about the money. They don't want to talk about, I'm going to make 50%, so you're going to make 30. Or you're going to make 20, and I'm going to make 80. Or you're going to make 80, I'm going to make 20. Like, whatever it is. Like, the ability to be able to communicate so clearly, I think, is so crucial to a team.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to lead or follow, like, whatever. Just to be able to actually tell truth. And that's something I say all the time. It's like, you have to create a culture where people can tell the truth, because if they don't tell the truth, you're never actually addressing the problem.
Yes.
You're addressing, like, the symptom of the problem, and then hopefully you're an empathetic enough leader to be able to, like, go down the emotional trail of, like, what's actually wrong. But if the person doesn't feel comfortable telling you the truth, then you're just dancing around the thing, and you can fix the symptom of the thing, but if you don't fix the actual thing with truth, like, addressing, like, I hate my work, boss, like,
mm-hmm.
if they're scared to tell you that, then you can't find any way to make their work more interesting or put them in a better position. You just dance around your problems.
Yes.
I don't feel like I'm making enough money. If you can't say that, then the rest, I mean, you're going to be pissed off and you're poor quality work and all those things, but I can't ever fix that problem if I don't know that you don't feel like you're making enough.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely one of our strengths.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's really interesting, too, because it's, you know, like that idea that I was mentioning of feeling overwhelmed in the beginning, that oftentimes I think that people are overwhelmed by those questions and those ideas and, like, that worry of not knowing and, like, not having the answers right then and there. And it can just make everyone hit the brakes as hard as possible. It can just, like, stop you dead in your tracks. But if you just say it, if you just ask that question, if you just address that issue, then I don't know. I mean, like, I can't say it works out in all situations, you know, obviously like things are always different. People respond to things differently. But the one thing that you and I always have had is that ability to say, like, I am not afraid to speak my truth to you. I trust you that you are going to hear my truth and you're going to value it, whether or not you agree with it. I just need you to hear it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that you and I both carry into our work with our clients too, because oftentimes, especially like when I've worked with people in the community who are, you know, our age doing similar things and like wanting to know what we're doing and like wanting to know what our secret is, I feel like we're not doing anything that's so insanely groundbreaking and different than other people, except for the intention, passion, and truth that we bring to each and every project and interaction that we have. That we bring that level of communication that we have with each other to each of our clients and to each of those exchanges.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And it is a really, really empathetic process, I think, too. Like being in a partnership as business partners, being in a partnership as client and customer, like all of that. Like that there is something truly magical about being able to speak your truth as well as being able to hear others.
Agree. I think it's, you know, I'm trying to figure out what that looks like in application, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many can you teach that?
I don't think that's necessarily something that you can teach, but I think it is something that can be practiced and learned. I think that if you have the intention of wanting to truly care and connect with someone rather than wanting to sell them something or wanting to convince them of something or anything like that, if you have pure intentions to serve and support another human being, I really feel like there isn't too many ways that can go bad.
No, I think it's lack of judgment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's really at the core, like the crux of everything.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there's so many people, like we were just having this conversation, there's so many people that, you know, we post our professional headshot, or we put, you know, we put our Instagram portfolio, we you know, our Instagram themes, like all the colors are perfect, and like we have to preserve this thing because we feel like we're going to be judged or thought of differently if we present ourselves as anything other than what we've set ourselves up to be. And like people have so many facets to them, like mm-hmm. they have so many aspects, so many parts of their personality, and like when you take that like incredibly diverse animal and you shove it into this cage and be like, you need to be this all the time, I think that it just creates so much judgment internally and externally. And I think our process, like with each other,
mm-hmm.
and our process with our clients, is like the thing is never as bad as the judgment of the thing.
Yes.
You know, like the thing is just like, okay, you don't know what you're doing. That's, in the scheme of things, that's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
The big deal is that you don't know what you're doing. Okay, let's approach that with lack of judgment, or let's look at that internally from like, I don't know what I'm doing, so that must mean I'm worthless. All these people are going to find out. Everybody's going to leave. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my business, whatever. Like, that's internal pressure. And the external pressure is like, everybody's presenting as professional and everybody's presenting as like put together and perfect. And when you present like that, then everybody else thinks that they need to be that way too. Because if everybody else has got it figured out and I don't, then there's something really wrong with me. So I'm going to put, and it's like, we all have these like nice little castles, but there's nothing inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's how we approach customers, is it's like, look, nobody knows what they're fucking doing. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've said this before, like, I don't believe that any experts exist in the fields of like communication or business or humans. Because by the time you have something figured out, tomorrow it's changed.
Absolutely.
And for anybody to posture themselves, I mean, that's why I went off on that speaking event thing. Like, for anybody to posture as an expert, it's like, sure, you may have some tricks, you may have some things that have worked. But doesn't mean they're going to continue to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you open up that door and you're just like, okay, I don't know anything. I don't think anybody else knows anything. Let's just play and let's try some stuff. And like, for me personally, and what I've seen for our business has just been pure growth.
Yeah.
It's like, we're growing because we're trying new things and we're figuring out where we're falling through, and like the judgment doesn't really matter anyway.
Yeah, we're not getting hung up on whether or not the client, you know, really loved what we sent them rather than like them just saying that it was fine. We're not getting hung up on the details of every single project having to be perfect because we know that it's more important to get it out there than it, you know, it's like, it's true. Like that judgment, I feel like in all facets of business and a lot of personal aspects too, where it's just that if you can remove that judgment and just look at something with some distance to say like, what is this issue? Like, what is actually happening? What am I actually feeling? And like, let's look at that. Let's not focus on what is overwhelming or is what's causing you stress, but it's like, let's just talk about those feelings real quick.
Yeah, let's be true. I mean, truth is such an important thing to be able to actually create change, because we're gonna rationalize or make up a reason why we feel this way when it's actually like, you just need to look at the fucking thing.
Yeah.
You just need to look at the thing. Like, it doesn't matter how nasty it is or like how dark it is, like, just look at the thing. Mm-hmm. And if you can look at it, then you can shine some light on it, and then that thing gets less dirty. And if you can do that consistently enough, eventually it goes away. And I just worry, like, conversations with people on the phone, you know, talking about, like, I was saying about the lady on the podcast where she was talking about, like, oh, I said 60% instead of 80%. You know, we can't post anything new. You know, we can't try any new videos because it looks like it's not professional. You know, I can't post new photos because, like, oh, the lighting's not right. It's like, well, you're cramming yourself in a box and what really worries me is that when we do things like that, it gives us excuses to feel good about not trying new things.
Yes.
Where it feels right, because like, oh, the lighting's not right, I can't try this. Like, but you really should be trying it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you grow, is you try new things. Yeah. And you have people throw tomatoes at you and be like, that sucks. And you're like, okay, cool, I'm gonna try something else. But the tomatoes aren't real. Like, who cares when other people throw it? Like, if you, the idea, at least in my mind, the idea is to grow. The idea is to figure out what does and doesn't work at the fastest in the fastest possible way, so that you can get to the objective that you're seeking. Mm-hmm. Maybe happiness or wealth or status or celebrity fame or helping the homeless, like whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
But the faster that we can move through the things that do and don't work, that's growth. It's learning. It's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Because you can posture as the thing for so long, but the only thing that matters is actually growing, not Instagram growing or TikTok growing.
Or yeah.
Facebook growing. Like, who fucking cares?
Yeah, let's talk about real growth.
Yeah.
Something that actually matters.
Like, who do you want to be as a person? Like, this is all a phase. Like, we're, Instagram was founded in 2010. Like, we're a decade into social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Like,
all the people that grew up, so I graduated in 2010, so I'm 28 now. I was 18 when Instagram came out. So my, you know, 18 to 28, those years have been like in social media, out of social media, in social media, out of social media. When I look back and I'm 60, like, or when anybody looks back and they're 60, are they going to look back at their fucking TikTok likes?
Exactly.
You know, like, you're going to look at, like, who do you fucking want to be?
Yeah. Yeah, I always like to ask the question, like, when is it actually going to matter?
Yeah.
Like, when is the moment? Like, I like to try to get people to actually visualize it, you know? It's like when people say, like, oh, well, when is this going to come in handy? Like, when in, for anything. It's like, okay, when is this really going to matter? Right. When is the aesthetic of your Instagram feed going to be a do or die situation? Never.
Yeah. But it's put like in this massive lens of like, you just get to live in the judgment of other people 24/7. And you wonder like what's going to happen? And why do you care about all the opinions of all these people that you don't even know?
Yeah. Well, and it's so crazy. I mean, like, cause we're talking about like this idea of judgment, and it's, again, like, I feel like living in that space of comparison, like, especially with social media, like, you're giving yourself that excuse to not move forward, to not progress, to not give yourself credit, to not, you know, celebrate your wins. It's just this spiral out of control into this really dark place of not being worthy and not being enough. But I feel like the opposite end of, like, what we're talking about is, like, taking that action and, like, just doing the thing, even if it's not perfect. It comes back to one of my favorite sayings of yours, that everything is figureoutable. I love that one because it's true. It is so true, especially when it comes to something that, like, if someone out there is trying to is dealing with an issue that someone else has figured out, then it is, in fact, figureoutable. We have obvious evidence of that. You haven't figured it out yet, but someone else has. So what's to say that you can't?
Yeah.
And whatever it is that people are dealing with, I feel like if we remove that judgment, that overwhelm goes with it. So that thing that was figureoutable the entire time now doesn't seem so scary. And the idea of figuring it out seems more playful and more curious rather than stressful and not being worthy, you know?
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking of that, and I was thinking of that process of, like, everything is figureoutable. And what I mean by that is, like, nothing is hard. The only thing that makes something hard is not knowing how to do it. Most things are easy when you know how to do them. But we think, like, we confuse not knowing how to do something and something being hard.
Yes.
We think, I don't know how to do it, therefore it must be hard. Well, if you knew how to do it, it's probably easy. and people run into those things a lot. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, okay, well, what really matters then? Like, nothing is hard once you know how to do it. So you could put in the work to be able to know how to do, like, theoretically everything, and nothing would be hard. But then that there's that focus in the process. And it's interesting because, like, you and I are starting to accrue fans. So we're starting to accrue people that, like, really support us and, like,
very strange.
Want to work for us, and clients that are like, really dedicated, like, clients that are hand-picking us to be like, I want you guys to be with us on this mission. And it's amazing. And I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking of, like, my younger self, and I'm thinking of the people who are, like quote-unquote, because I hate this statement, like, looking up to us or think that we're, like, in a better place. I'm gonna cut out the dog. But what I was saying something about Helen.
Stop.
I was saying something about people looking up to us, and I hate that, and the process, and it's weird to be, like, in like a top position, or have people look at you like you're in a top position, because I don't think I'm in a top position. I think I'm just, like, I'm gonna continue to learn, and if I get higher, then that's by other people's judgment, not by my own. Like, the only thing that matters is that I'm continuing to learn and to grow. And that's where, like, people get discouraged, and it's interesting to me. So, like, if you are somebody that thinks that you are, like, in the lower part of your journey and you're waiting to get up to the higher part of your journey, then we're exactly the same. Because the only thing that differs is the amount of time that we have in. Like, if you're doing the best you can and you're learning and growing, that's the exact same thing that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I've just been doing it for longer. So I've learned things that have made it easier and have kind of, like, made my growth curve a little bit steeper than other people. But you look at these people and I can't wait to get there. It's like, you're in the same fucking place.
Mm-hmm.
Like
you're already on your way there.
Yeah, you're on your way there, and you guys are doing the same thing. It's like, we always talk about it in jiu-jitsu. It's like, you're both just coming to train that day. The black belt is learning things, and he's been training for 8 years, and he knows more than you. Mm-hmm. And you're just starting. You're a white belt, and you're learning things, and you're just starting to train. But you're both there training, and you're both there learning things. And you both should be winning, and you both should be losing. This focus on result of like, I'm not good enough because I don't have that result. It's like selling yourself short. Like, if we really just looked at the process, like the process of, if you put in the work today, you won, and completely detached from the result, like, whatever. You can use the result as, like, maybe a bit of evidence in the long run, but all you really need to do is focus on the short term. It's like, anybody that thinks that they're in that lower place is like, you're the exact same. Like, we're doing that. If you're doing the best you can, you're doing the best you can. Keep putting in those fucking days and you'll get to that place. In 4 years, you'll be somewhere different than you are now.
Yep. It's funny because, like, I actually compare it to something even more dramatic, because grown up as kids, I have two younger sisters.
Yeah.
My mom constantly had to tell my younger sisters, like, no, you can't go to high school yet. You're not old enough. Kelly's going to go to high school. You'll go soon enough. And to me, this process is almost to that point where it's like, no, literally, like, you're going to be in 9th grade, but you're in 7th grade right now. Like, you can't just go from 7th. Like, you're working on it. You'll get there eventually. It's okay, you know? And I feel like this process is the same, that so often when we are in that lower level and we're just starting out, like, again, we make up those excuses and we judge ourselves and we say, well, no, but they have it all figured out. Or, like, oh, but she has that house, or he has that car. And, like, they obviously, like, have something I don't. It's like, no, they're just further along than you are.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. And I feel like if we thought about it in that way, of the, like, no excuses, no nonsense, like, no, there is a clear path and I'm on it. You just got to be willing to stay on it.
Yeah. And, like, the consistency and the patience and thinking of it in that sphere of, like, okay, I put in my reps today. Like, you can get there faster.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool, is that it puts a lot of emphasis on the work ethic.
Yeah.
Of, like, you can get there faster if you do more.
Yeah.
And you do more consistently. But if you do more and you burn out, you're not going to get there.
Yep.
So, like, where do you think you can maximize, like, the burnout factor and the time in? Like, where is that fine line for you? And then just put your head down. Don't look at other people. And don't give a fuck what other people say. And just
do and that. Stop looking for corners to cut.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like that's another side. And I say that because I feel like that is something that more often than not, like, people who, like, even me, like, when I was first starting out, like, on my own, it was like, you think that everyone else has something that you don't. They have the answers, they have the connection, something. It's like, you are the only one out there that doesn't have this thing, and somebody else has this thing and you need to get it. And I feel like that sort of thought process leads you to be constantly searching out for corners to cut.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking, oh, somebody's got a trick. Somebody's got a way to make this work. And I just have to figure out that trick and then I've got it. It's like, No, that's just not putting in the time and effort that it takes to create something beautiful. Mm. Like, you have to put in that sweat equity. Like, you have to work hard. And if, like, you can't find some incredibly crazy successful CEO out there who's gonna be like, oh yeah, yeah, like, you know, I had this idea and I just like was wishy-washy about it for a little while, but then I made it work, you know, it was fine. And it just all came together. Like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
These people have these insane stories of putting in countless hours and dedication and making sacrifices for it. And most of them say that they would go back and do it all over again and that it was amazing and they enjoyed every single moment of it because they were focused on that process and that growth and that build,
yeah,
rather than trying to come up with the vision of what the end result was going to be like.
And they fucking loved it.
Exactly.
Like, actually.
Every single day.
Like, actually loved it.
Yes.
They weren't told that they were supposed to love it and weren't playing the part of loving the thing that they were doing.
No, they loved it before the person told them they were supposed to love it.
They loved it regardless of what people said or what people do. And I think that, that's whenever I have a conversation with someone, you're like, what should I do? I'm like, well, you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to find something that you love and enjoy enough to be able to commit yourself for the time it takes to actually succeed in that thing.
Yeah.
Because it takes a tremendous amount of time. Wherever you're going to put your time, you become world class, you know, the high level at something. And if you don't love it, you're going to burn out. If you don't love it, but you, like, your parents or your family or your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or like whoever told you that this was who you were supposed to be. Like, that's why people that go for material objects generally flame out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're doing it for the opinion of other people.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work out in the long term for you to be able to put in the hours that it takes to buy that Ferrari when you don't actually love the things you're doing to buy the Ferrari. Like, you anything can be done. I believe that. And like, anything is a big word, but like, theoretically, anything can be done if you love it enough to be able to put in the time to be able to do the work that it takes to get to where you're going to go.
Yeah. Which I think is really funny because I think that idea has almost become really cliche.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many motivational posters and Pinterest posts and like all these things, but it's so true that it's like people tell you, you know, like, what is the phrase? Like, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
That phrase to me cracks me up because I'm like, I love what I do and I work every damn day,
yeah,
every single day, and I love it. And I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
And I work because I want to, not because I need to. Well, because I need to, but you know, I want to be here doing these things. I want to be creating. I want to be connecting with people. I'm so insanely passionate about what we're doing together. So the idea of not doing it causes me pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I feel like that's where we have to go. It's like that level of passion and dedication and determination that you have to tap into, I feel like has to be at that extreme to where it's like, no, this will crush me if I can't do it.
Yeah, I shit you not. Like, there are people that see millionaire mentor posts on Instagram and think that is the life that they want and like take that path in life thinking that's who they want to be when it's not, when it's like, no, what do you actually love? And I check in with myself about that all the time. Like,
yeah.
Do I actually love this? Do I actually love this work? Like, I'm deep in this shit. Like, we have money invested, we have clients, I got a partner. Like, do I actually love this? Because if I don't actually love this, then I should really be thinking hard.
Yeah, get out now.
Yeah, like, we really need to be checking in. And that worries me. Because when you ask most people, like, what do you stand for? What do you love? Like, what is the one thing that fires you up? Either they've been bashed their whole life and told that thing was dumb, like me.
Mm-hmm.
They were told that that thing was dumb, or they think it's dumb, or they just don't think it's possible, or they don't know. Like,
mm-hmm.
that is one of the most important things you'll ever, one of the most important questions you'll ever ask. It's like, what is the work that truly fulfills you and why?
Yeah.
And you better make fucking sure that it is not because your mom or your dad or your sister, your brother, your best friend, your family, your Instagram audience, like, you better make sure it's not any of those people that is the reason, because you need to be that for them. Like,
yes. Yeah. It needs to be for you.
Rough fucking situation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. It's absolutely insane to me. And I think that the other side of it too, where it's like there are definitely those people, I think that you and I can both relate to, like, the idea of having that beautiful tiny baby dream and wanting to hold on to it and having everyone around you say, like, what the hell are you why are you holding on to that? Like, you're crazy. But there is also this, like, massive collection of people who have never given themselves the time, have never given themselves the grace and, like, the honor to give themselves time to say, what is it that makes me happy? Like, what is it that I truly want to do? I think that there's something in us too, that like when we are stuck in that place of self-judgment, that we don't even allow ourselves to conceptualize what happiness could be because we don't think that we're worthy of that happiness. We don't think that happiness is possible for us. So I feel like there's tons of business owners out there who haven't even asked that question because they're like, no, like don't ask me why I'm worthy. Like I'm just gonna focus on making money, or I'm just gonna focus on like the black and white of my business, and I'm just gonna hopefully work it out. But they lose that like deep connection, that deep passion that makes this business and like the idea of being a small business owner and entrepreneur, like that's what makes it so worth it every day. That's the thing that makes the really hard days where clients call and bail out on you, or things get canceled, or you know, a virus comes and takes all of your clients away from you. You know, it's like that's the thing that pulls you through. Because I think that during this pandemic, you and I both have been hit with some really wild curveballs. We've faced a lot of loss.
Yeah, personally and professionally.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've dealt with some really, really hard stuff. But we've also been able to, like, give ourselves this space to say, like, okay, am I still in this? Am I still here for it? Mm-hmm. Do we still love this? And every single time we asked that question, it was hell yes, yeah. Every time. And that made those days better. It made those days when I found out that my husband was getting furloughed and that, you know, the majority of our money that was coming in was no longer going to be there. Like, poof, one day. Like, that was a hard day.
Yeah.
It was a really hard day. But when I sat down to ask myself, like, okay, well, I'm a co-owner and partner in this business that's really new and fresh, and there's no guarantee of money coming in next month, and I've got bills to pay, and I've got, you know, a household that I want to provide for, like, what do I do? And in that moment, it wasn't like, what else can I do, or what do I do differently? It was like, holy shit, well, I guess we got to push harder, because thing has to work, you know?
Like, do something different. It's like, do this more.
Yeah, exactly. No, and that's the thing. Yeah. And I think that when people have been faced with that question to say, like, well, what do I do now? And they go, well, I guess I have to get a part-time job, or, well, I guess I have to do this. I mean, obviously, there's definitely a level of, like, privilege and opportunity there. So, like, I don't want to hate on people for not being able to do that. But if in your heart, in that moment of struggle that you're facing it, and you consider, like, well, I guess I'll just give up. I guess this is the end. I guess this wasn't meant to be. I'll just move on and go get a terrible job that I hate. To me, that tells me that you never loved what you were doing in the first place enough to be doing it. That thing that you were doing was not worthy of your passion and your time, and that you need to go find what it is that truly makes you happy. Because if you had already found that thing, the only answer to that question was, I guess we just got to do it harder and more and every single day, and we're going to make it work, you know? Because when you do love something on that level, like, you make it happen.
That's the truth, man. It's
hard. It's a hard truth, I think, for a lot of people to grasp and for a lot of people to hear, because there's a lot that comes with it.
Yeah. And it's dark, and it's dark. It can be dark. It can be lonely. Like,
if there is self-judgment attached to it, I think. I think that, again, if you're hearing this and you're relating to some of it and you're saying, oh God, that's me. Oh God, I don't love what I'm doing. Oh God. It's like, okay, like, that's not a bad thing. You're not a failure. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a moment to pivot, to say, like, wow, like,
yeah, it's like dope. We're one step
that's awesome.
To figure, like, you're done being stuck.
Yes.
If you're feeling like that is you, you're done being stuck, and we're one step closer to you actually figuring out what you do love.
Oh, yes. And that's beautiful. I think that leaving something knowing that that was not serving you is just as powerful as finding something that is serving you. And that walking away, I think that walking away from those things can be far more healing than walking into something that, like, you were meant to be, quote unquote. Like, it's,
yeah,
because it that's the growth, that's the process. Those are the moments where you learn more about yourself than any other time. You know, it's like, I feel like our moments of failure and our moments where our client said, nah, like, no thanks, I don't need it. You know, it's like when we've had our egos checked in business is when we've learned the most about each other, ourselves, about what we want to do. Like, it's been our moments to pivot in our business to make sure that what we're doing every day is what we want to be doing. Like, it can be beautiful.
Yeah, it takes me back to, like, there's also a cliche thing is, like, winning or losing is winning. Like, mm-hmm. You have to look at the loss as a win because, like, you figured out one more thing that doesn't work.
And yeah.
That's a sentence. But it doesn't. It, the feeling, it's a
golden nugget of the podcast episode right there.
That's a sentence. But nobody actually. I mean, few people ever are ever like acquainted with that idea of like, oh, they said no, and they're like walking away, clicking their heels because like they got rejected. But it is the truth, because the way that I look at it is, it's like, that's a cool sentence, and it's cool for people to say that, but it's really hard to actually feel that. But if you look at, there's another statement that comes along with it. It's like, if you're not losing, you're not doing anything.
Mm.
So like, and that normalizes it so much, because it's like, everybody that is actually doing it, like, whether you look at the basketball players, the business people, or the models, or like, everybody has had like a career that's rife with a lot of rejection.
Yeah.
The reason why they've had a lot of rejection is because they've been doing a lot of things. So the only thing that matters is if you do the things.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, there's rough days, but you have to do the things. Like, do the things so you figure out what you do and don't love and what you do and don't like, and be honest about those things, and then keep doing the things.
Yeah.
It sounds,
and just keep going.
Yeah, somebody asked me the other day, they're like, you need to run a seminar on how to be like you.
Wow, guys, he really does not need that.
Yeah. I was like, I'm just a dude. And they're like, no, you're like some kind of like artificial intelligence thing. Like, yeah.
Wow.
It was a big compliment. And immediately I was like, well, I could not do that. Because that, how could I ever do that? Like, get on an Instagram post and be
oh
like,
my gosh,
I'm going to run a seminar. It's going to be called the Be Like Me seminar. And you guys are all going to learn to be like me. I'll see you there. Like, what? And you're probably going to say some shit about, like, actually, that would be good for the world because you're a good man and we need more good men. I don't know what you're going to say, but...
I mean, that's a pretty good wrap-up of what I was about to say. I mean, it is true, though. I mean, I think that, like, the idea of...
Oh, that's why I brought it up. I'm sorry. That's why I brought it up. I said that.
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought was, like, okay, well... If you want to be like me, like, do the things. Like, wake up every morning an hour before you need to wake up and journal and figure out who the fuck you are, and then read about other people that you admire.
That won't do it.
That's how I started.
That's how you started, but you started with so many other things too. That's the beauty of it.
But I mean, in my life, that was a major, yes. Because there's multiple things that come from that. Like, you're starting to be, especially for men. Like, men are not generally very introspective. You're becoming more introspective first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. Which is for the first time in your life, really, where you're sitting there and you're thinking, like, how am I feeling right now? What do I want from today? Men or women? Those are really important mm-hmm. questions. And then from there, instead of letting the world dictate, like, what you're going to be taking in, whether it's your Twitter, your Instagram, or whatever, you're away from the phone for a minute and you're reading a book. And what a book does is it makes your brain turn lines of text into little images in your head. So what's cool about reading is we create our own little mm-hmm. movies. So the first thing you're doing is you're kind of like visualizing how you want your day to go. You're checking in with yourself. You're doing all these things to, like, acknowledge yourself and who you are and what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're reading about things that interest you, and you're having to actually, like, create or like visualize that knowledge in your head first thing in the morning. That's really powerful. And then, like, secondarily or tertiarily to that is you're committing yourself to a discipline of, like, doesn't matter. You went to bed at 1 a.m., lose an hour of sleep. You should have gone to sleep earlier. Wake up and do it. And if you can form that discipline, like, luckily I had some discipline imbibed in me as a kid, and I trained myself to be more disciplined. But if you can do that, like, you'll be okay. Like, if you can, I don't think there would be very many people that were disciplined enough to wake up and journal in the morning and read for an hour every single day for years on end. Like, I don't think there's very many people that wouldn't find a way to be successful if they could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely agree with that.
Itself.
Well, and what you're practicing isn't necessarily, like, a habit. What you're doing is, like, continuously practicing, like, your own self-control.
Yeah.
Your own, like, conscious decision-making. And basically, like, without trying or without really involving anyone else, you are not only building your own inner voice, but you're also, you're just kind of creating... I'm losing my train of thought right now, but I was like, I love it. I was like, I had something good. But anyways.
What you were saying was true. Like, you're building your own inner voice, but you're
confidence. Starting, that's what I was looking for. Starting, building your own self-confidence without ever actually having to involve anyone else.
And you're acquainting yourself with who are you actually. Because, like, yes. I grew up
Which in turn builds massive self-confidence, I feel.
Because, like, you start looking at other people and, like, all this judgment, and you're like, wait, hold the fuck on. Like,
yeah,
this is what I like. I'm sorry, you don't think it's good that I like this, but I like this, and this is why. Like, and you can start to, like, make that case for yourself.
Yes, and that moment right there, I feel like, is such a huge, huge stepping stone, the huge moment of growth. The first time that you can do that is massive.
Absolutely.
Without having to think about it, but naturally being like, wait, no, but this is me. It's like that's when your truth becomes so strong that you can't help but speak it.
It blows my mind, man. I was thinking about this because I released a video about like the disparity of knowledge between like the consumer and the business, and how anytime there's a disparity, which means there's like a massive gap of knowledge where like the business knows a lot about their thing and the consumer doesn't know. There's always a big price manipulative piece in there where like it seems expensive because it's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we do that about everything.
Yeah.
Like we're always looking for like the next like sexy, flashy, cutting edge thing to do. It's like, nope. Mm-hmm. Like wake up, figure yourself out. Like answer, you know, you should probably figure out what really makes you happy. Should probably figure out like what you really care about. What would you die for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is love to you? What do you want your life to look like actually? Like not what your parents want your life to look like, or your girlfriend, or your boyfriend, or your husband. Like answer those questions, sit down, do those things. And then, I mean, then put time in towards the things that you love, like invest in yourself. Like it seems really simple to me looking back, and it seemed complicated as fuck to me when I was growing up and when I was in the younger stages of my life, because it's like everybody knows something I don't. It's like, well, that may be true, but who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? What do you want to do? Okay, let's find ways to do that. And you'll probably have to find ways of balance, because it's like if you're 5'2 and you want to play in the NBA, there may not be a way to like get you in the NBA, but we might be able to get you in the media team. We might be able to get you on the court. We might be able to get you to be a part of the team, like event planning. Like, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you want it to look like? And then why? Like, why? Most people will be like, well, I want money. I'm like, why? Because bitches. I'm like, that says nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I work with high school students all the time. That's the answer. Like, bro, I want to make some cash. I teach an entrepreneurship class. That is all they say. You know, I want to learn how to make money. I'm like, okay, cool. Why? Because I want bitches. I'm like, why? And then their face just goes,
yeah. Like, what are you going to do with those when you get your hands on them?
Yeah.
Like, what are we even talking about?
That's great. Like, why do you want those things?
Yeah.
What does it do for you? Mm-hmm. How will it contribute to your life? Why do you think it'll make you happy? And it's so crazy.
That
you ask those questions and you scratch like 2 fucking inches deeper on the question of like, what do you want to do with your life? What makes you happy? And then you ask why, or how do you think that'll make you happy? And then people don't have an answer. It's like, that's something we need to work on.
Yeah. No, that's huge. Like, why do you think that'll make you happy? I think is a massive like door to open to really get you to a really solid answer for that question. Like personally, because I feel like when you get confronted with that, like when you say like, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur because I want to make money because can't use bitches, but I want a fancy car. you know, it's like, I want a fancy car. I want a Ferrari. And you're like, okay, well, why do you want a Ferrari? Well, because it'll make me look good. It'll make me look like I have a lot of money. I'll look like I have a lot of status. Okay, you'll look like those things. Okay, so you care about what other people think of you?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, well, no.
And also, you don't think you're of status right now.
Exactly. So it's like, okay, well, maybe we should be dealing with the fact that you're more concerned with what other people think of you rather than what you think of yourself. But also maybe we should first deal with the fact that you don't think that you are those things now. So what is it about you right now that you feel is unworthy or isn't of value or is holding you back? Because again, like when we pull it all back, when we stop judging, when we stop overthinking it all, and we go back to the simplest form of the question, and if we can't answer that, then how the hell are we going to tackle the other 100 questions that we already came up with?
Yeah.
You know, it's for me, like I come back to like my design roots, where I believe that the best form of design is a concept that has been fine-tuned down to its simplest form, because in its simplest form, it can be communicated to the most amount of people.
Yeah.
If you can do that with your own inner thoughts, your feelings, the way that you present yourself, if you can simplify it to its core value and just focus on that, everything else just falls in place. And I think that that's honestly something that you have been able to find and that people really seem to like be very caught onto, because they think that you found something and you didn't, you developed it.
Yeah.
you grew it, you know, it evolved. Like,
yeah, it was like this little pearl. Like, it was all, there's just like, it was how I was talking about. I always talk about this like little thing that I held as a kid. It's like, mm-hmm. I think we all have like our little gift, like we're little children, like little cartoon children, and we have it in our hands. And then like, we lose it somewhere. But we remember where it is. Like, it's over there in the forest. I could go find it. And then like, the forest gets cut down and there's like all these forests on top of it. And the forest burns and now there's ash on top of it. And it's like, it's still in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's still like, we just it's have still to there. Find the thing within us that really lights us up and like take yeah. off the judgment and take off the caring about what other people think and taking off the like forward thinking, what my dad thinks, what my mom thinks, like all that.
Well, and the crazy thing with that, I feel like, because this could definitely walk us down a very, very complex road of like that internal work that needs to be done. But I think that through that work, we also kind of shed light on those things that we believe or that we think that are things that we have taken on from other people.
Yeah.
If we can start to pull apart those beliefs that we have to say like, oh, well, I'm not going to be successful because I came from, you know, the wrong side of tracks, like my family has no money, like I'm never going to go anywhere, like I'm not going to have an education, whatever. It's like, if you stay down that path, like if you stay in that place, like it's always going to be that way.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's like, yeah, that's true. That's how it is. You already decided it, done.
Yep.
You know? And as soon as you just stop and say like, why do I believe that? Why do I believe that I'm not going to be able to do anything in life because of where I'm from? Well, maybe it's because, you know, some a-hole teacher told you that one time. Or maybe it's because your mom constantly was complaining about having no money and how she was never going to go anywhere. It's like, there's so many different things that are up in our head that oftentimes we are like, I feel like I judged myself for the judgments I had. Like, it was layered upon layered. And, you know, it's like, you give yourself a hard time for not being okay mentally enough or emotionally enough to be doing the things you want to do. It's like, bro, you just became the bully of the bully of, like, stop.
Wow, I sucked at that. Oh, my God, I can't think you believe you think that
yeah,
you
like,
sucked at that.
You're horrible for you thinking, yeah, I'm like, what?
About yourself? Oh, my God, look at how much you're thinking. You're fucking crazy.
Exactly, and it's like, wow, stop. Mm-hmm. Just slow down. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, again, like, going back to, like, your practice of saying, like, well, how do you become like you? Like, I think that the idea of, like, becoming like you is weird. I feel like we have to, we got to label that, you know, like.
We have to fucking take it. The road needs it. We can't have that road of like, well, this is more of a talk about how to become more like
you. No, the funny thing about it is that I think that we can do, like, we could do this seminar, but it's not how to be more like Matt. It's how to be more like you, as in who you are. Like, let me teach you the things, right? But it's kind of true. Like, what you're talking about, the practice of reading every morning, the practice of journaling, the practice of taking time to be alone with your own thoughts, to come up with your own feelings and ideas about the world. You are taking the time to dedicate to yourself to develop who you are every day.
Yeah.
Without the judgment and influence of other people, without the judgments of Matthew Iski. You know, it's like, it's not, you're not saying, no, take a picture of me, put it next to your bed when you wake up in the morning, journal about me with you. Like, it's not that, you know? We're not asking, like, you would never ask anybody to do that. What you're asking them is to develop themselves.
Yeah.
Without judgment, away from other people, without the constant noise and buzz of like media and our social situation, all of it.
Yeah, there was this cool little like anecdotal story about addressing like root causes of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things that was like, I forget exactly how they characterized it, but I think it was by asking the question of like, so what's bad about that?
Mm-hmm.
So like, this starts with the guy. There's this guy that can't stop drinking coffee. It's caffeine addiction.
Okay.
And it's like, I have a caffeine addiction. Okay, so what's bad about that? Like, that means, I mean, I'm not getting enough sleep. I'm always drinking coffee. Okay, well, why aren't you sleeping? You know, it you keep going down this. I forget how it went exactly. Why? And he wasn't getting enough sleep. It wasn't a caffeine addiction. I'm so sorry. He wasn't getting enough sleep. It's like, why aren't you getting enough sleep? Because I'm always drinking coffee. Well, why are you always drinking coffee? Because I'm always tired. Well, why are you always tired? Well, because I'm out drinking late. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, why are you out drinking late? Because my friends always invite me out and I feel like I can't say no. Okay, well, why wouldn't you be able to say no? Because then if I say no, then they might not include me anymore and then I'll be alone.
Oh. Well, there we go.
And we can do that with every single thing that we have in our life. Of like, you're not sleeping. Okay, why? I'm drinking coffee. Okay, why? I'm tired. Okay, why? I'm going out all the time. Okay, why? Like, and really not just being like, I'm not sleeping enough. Okay, I should get a sleeping pill. Like, no. Like, why? what is going on.
Yeah, don't try to fix the problem. Try to figure out what the problem is.
Yeah. Because what in this anecdote, the person was actually afraid of being abandoned in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they needed to do some work around like maybe creating stronger bonds with people and testing the waters of like, look, I'm feeling like, you know, people might leave me and I'm scared of that. And having those conversations, then they'd probably be more, and then it like rattles back up the chain of like, okay, they feel more secure in their relationships. Now they might feel like they'd be able to say no to people and they don't feel like going out and not feel like people are going to leave them. Then they're drinking less coffee, they're sleeping more, and then it's fixed this symptomatic problem on the end.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to address what's going on at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's crazy because I think that oftentimes when we go down that path, we can get to some like really, really big, heavy things.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can look at those things not as like problems that, again, that need to be fixed, but more of just like facts, like this is just truth. You know, I feel like if you get down to the end of it and say like, okay, I'm doing all of these things and I feel this way because I'm afraid of abandonment, I don't want to be alone. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's okay. It's like, okay, that means that you need something, socializing, people around you, whatever it is, you might need something different than the person next to you, but that does not mean that that thing is bad,
mm-hmm.
or that your need for it is bad, or that that makes you weak in any way, shape, or form. Because I think that we have all, because of that comparison game, because of that perfection game, and because of us constantly comparing ourselves to each other, thinking that everyone else has it all figured out, that we just judge ourselves into oblivion.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to close that thought. It's like, just let the thing be the thing.
Yes.
Who cares?
Who cares?
I mean,
it's just a thing. It's not so scary when it's just, when you, like you said, when you just look at it.
Yeah.
When you stop avoiding the scary monster under your bed and you stop not looking and thinking about how terrible it is, but instead turn the effing lights on and look at the thing and see that it's not as bad as you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is bad, then get some help and we'll tackle it together, you know? But like, that's the thing. Once you look at it, at least you know.
Yeah.
At least you're not afraid of it anymore.
The first word that pops into my head is like, oh, I'm scared of being abandoned. All right, dope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's amazing.
Sweet.
I'm glad you're like, okay, cool. We figured it out. Like,
yeah.
Now we can make progress.
Yes.
But the more you dance around it, you're never going to make progress. And that honestly can go on for decades. It can go on for a very, very
lifetime.
Long time.
Yeah.
Where somebody can live in fear of judgment or abandonment or whatever for their entire life and never actually do the thing that they always wanted to do. That's a real story. That's a lot of people's stories.
Mm-hmm. And if you go down that, if you choose that path, I feel like you just will never find what you're looking for because you have stolen that opportunity for growth from yourself.
Yep. And that regret scares the fuck out of me.
Mm-hmm. As it should.
Mm.
But I think that fear of that also is what propels you forward.
Do you know Joe Rogan does these for 3 hours?
I was like, that's insane, but I'm like, I can totally see myself being able to sit and talk for 3 hours.
We could do it. We're 56 minutes in. Like we could do it. That's his standard recording time though. He books people. Any guests? Like standard block is 3 hours long.
I wouldn't be surprised.
If they want less, then they can have less. But his standard block is 3 hours.
Yeah, I would. Mine would probably be two.
Yeah.
But yeah. I believe that.
It's crazy. Hopefully, let's do this more regularly. You have anything else you want to say?
No, I think that what we kind of talked about was really big. I think the beauty of it is that we kind of started with something simple and we went super deep into it and brought it back simple. It's like, yeah, it was like the theme of it all. It sounded, I was like, it was very well put together. We did good. But no, I think that kind of wraps it up. I think that is a beautiful snapshot of kind of where we started,
mm-hmm.
what we kind of had to go through, and the things, the really like the key pieces that have helped us to get to where we are now.
Yeah, I think we should do more of the Matt and Kelly show. So anybody listening, we're gonna do more of the Matt and Kelly show, mm-hmm. and I think it'll be more of us on podcasts and Instagram lives, and like we're happy to collaborate with people and do it. But
yeah,
I
yeah.
think that you and I together is solid. So
down.
Deuces, everybody.
See ya.
Well, that was the episode. If you enjoyed that, if you want to hear something specific, if you have questions, if you want to connect, please feel free to reach out at stigma.solutions on Instagram is probably the best place to do it. On the internet, it's the same thing, www.stigma.solutions. That's the whole thing, no.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to talk more. Kelly and Matt show, interviewing other people, all the things, but hope you're doing well through all this craziness, and we will talk to you soon.